Vatican Radio really is a source of continual surprise. I bumped into my friend and colleague Marco Di Battista of the music programme the other day, only to find out he was just back from a reporting mission to the Venice Biennale's International Festival of Contemporary Music. I jumped at him for more information, as I'm very interested in music, and in any event that promotes experimentation and research, as I happen to know the Venice Biennale is a real hub of creativity and ideas. The whole city becomes a multifaceted workshop in which world-class artists find a stage, an auditorium, or an art gallery in which to show their work. I also jumped at Marco's offer that I take my pick from an interview with Brian Eno, who conceived and created a site-specific audiovisual installation for the occasion. A work entitled Painting by Music, in which he uses television or computer screens to create painting in constant evolution.
What is interesting about this kind of work that I'm doing now is that nobody can ever see all of it, including me.
Yes, that's Brian Eno himself. For those of you who don't know him, he was one of the founding members of Roxy Music. He then became a pioneer of tape looping and other forms of sound manipulation, which led to the creation of ambient music. And in addition to being one of the most significant composers, musicians, and record producers of his generation, Eno, who theorizes music for non-musicians and the end of the traditional concept of listening, has extended his creative activity to painting, sculpture, and video art.
For example, I worked out this morning that the total number of configurations of that group of screens is 77 million to the fourth, which is a number so large that to watch it would take the time of about a million universes. So this seems to me like a different idea about art. It's closer to working with nature, which you accept as a constantly changing, ephemeral experience. In fact, I think one of the things that inspired me was something John Cage said once. He said, I want art to imitate life in its manner of operation. So you might think of the history of art as being in three broad phases. The first phase is the imitation of how something appears, how something looks. So that's the direct imitation of visual nature. The second phase is the imitation of how things are structured. And the third phase, which I think we're in now, is the imitation of how things actually develop and evolve and progress in time.
Curiouser and curiouser, I asked Marco to describe painting by music, and he explained that the painting is generated by slides that are randomly combined by the computer using a special software. The software that also elaborates the music that accompanies the paintings. This means that the selection of elements is arbitrary and creates a virtually infinite number of variables, so that, as Eno himself has just said, the result is that the evolution of the creation cannot be foretold even by the artist who conceived it, while each viewer experiences an absolutely unique vision of the work itself.
So I've always thought the most interesting form of sculpture, really, was gardening. Gardeners have a much more difficult life than sculptors do, because gardeners have to deal with things that change in time, change in space, and are dependent on factors outside of their control. And I've always wanted to be a gardener, but I'm not a very good one. But now I feel a little bit more like I'm a gardener making this kind of work. I feel like I'm, instead of feeling like somebody who creates finished pieces of work, which I then push out to the public. I feel like somebody who's planting things. I make seeds, and I plant these seeds, and then, just like the rest of you, I watch them grow. And I'm as surprised as anybody else by what happens.
Eno continued to elaborate on his vision of art and music, saying that there has been a real shift in the way composers think about what they do.
Classical composers, until the 1940s or 50s, thought of themselves as sort of musical architects, people who had a vision of a piece of music, which they then designed and constructed and put into the world. So they were the designers. They were looking at the thing from above and building it. You know, the impression of the classical composer is always of someone who carries in his head a symphony and kind of writes it down and somehow brings it into the world. And the classical picture of the architect is the same. I think what has happened is that suddenly a completely new model of what artists do has come into being, and it's connected to improvisation, but it's mostly connected to the idea that artists are people who work from the bottom up, not from the top down. So artists are people who start something, not who finish something. It is very easy for humans to make experiences that are increasingly dense, increasingly fast, increasingly information-rich, and increasingly shallow. And what I find fascinating about the possibilities of the tools we now have is that actually you can do the opposite. You can make things that are very slow, very sensual, very immersive, and these have an interesting psychological effect on us, because they make us do something which all religions actually also make us do, which is to surrender. And surrender is just about the most interesting thing you can do with your mind, in my opinion, because it's from surrendering that things come into you. Surrendering is the opposite of resisting. And I think surrendering is being defenseless, allowing yourself to be defenseless. And when you're defenseless, things can affect you. And so I think it's valuable to make things that create that condition in people.
Eno had much to say about his work and his vision. But what came across very strongly is an unfaltering drive to find new ways and new idioms in which to express himself, and the wish to share his creative genius with other artists and with anyone who cares and who wants to listen, watch, and experience the gifts that, I say, God has given us.
So much I give.